Welcome to the Paleo View. I'm Stacey Toth of PaleoParents.com. You might also know me as the Broth Lady, or the inventor of the hashtag More Vegetables Than a Vegetarian. I'm the co-author of several paleo cookbooks, including Eat Like a Dinosaur, Beyond Bacon, and the upcoming Real Life Paleo. I like to talk about health at any size, and self-love, and personal acceptance. Specifically, I have a love for lifting heavy things. If you're interested in finding more out about that, you can also find me on Strong Woman Radio.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Ballantyne of ThePaleoMom.com. I'm the New York Times best-selling author of The Paleo Approach and The Paleo Approach Cookbook. I'm passionate about nutrient density and the intersection of diet and lifestyle with health, which really means I just love talking about science.
News and Views, where Sarah and I catch up and you get to listen to our gossip. All right, it is. We're officially starting this podcast, despite the fact that we've been on for 17 minutes at this point. So I want to introduce a few members of my team. The ladies of Real Life Paleo have joined the podcast with Sarah and I today. I have Monica, who, if you've been a longtime listener of the podcast, she actually hosted a best of show like last year. You can go listen to her there, and you probably hear her referred to every single week as the podcast producer. But Monica fulfills many different hats on the Paleo Parents team, and she's with us tonight to talk about her experiences working with us during the book. And then I also have Samantha Scott, who is Paleo Sitter. And we found Sam through mutual friend and team member Courtney, who I hope will also join us this evening. And when I first texted Sam about babysitting, I remember she asked if she could bring her own food because she was paleo. And it was at that point that we were like, dude, we're the paleo parents. It's totally fine. And it's meshed ever since. She's the only non-family member that we trust with our children. And we'll be watching them while Matt and I go on the first leg of the Real Life Paleo Tour. And was our intern and right hand, literally. Her hands are all throughout the book of Real Life Paleo. So we asked her to join us as well to talk about her experiences. So welcome, Monica and Sam, to the Ladies of Real Life Paleo podcast.
Thank you.
And Sarah.
Yeah, but obviously.
I'm just saying, like, the Ladies of Real Life Paleo, like, plus one.
I said joined Sarah and I. Yeah, Sarah's here. We don't do shows by ourselves. There's been quite a few times where it would have been way more convenient, but we're both like, I don't want to do it without you.
Yeah. Well, no, I have a feeling we're only good together.
And Sarah, since you're the forward, you definitely are a Lady of Real Life Paleo.
That's true.
This is true. I should just read everyone my forward on the air, and then that can be my contribution.
I think maybe if they want to read your forward, they can get the book and read the forward. Maybe you should tell them
it's
things
probably,
out of your mouth.
Is the Look Inside feature live on Amazon yet?
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I
wasn't the last time I checked, yeah. But it'll be available really soon.
Yeah, so when this podcast goes live, you have like days until the book releases. It releases Tuesday, November 4th. So whenever you're listening to this podcast, you should stop what you're doing and go get a copy of Real Life Paleo if you haven't yet, either by ordering it online or going into a bookstore, which would be super fantastic.
I second that, and I'm not an author.
just
so that everybody understands, this book is freaking fantastic. I think I already mentioned on the podcast that you sent me a PDF that was like, you know, here's my baby PDF. And I looked at it and I like demanded the privilege of writing the foreword for it, which was apparently a good thing because you were already thinking about asking me. but I looked at it, was like, I have to have my name on this somehow because I didn't actually do any work on this. And so the only way to get my name on it is now to write the foreword. And now my name's on it. But this book is, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I think it's going to be the book now, like from now on, from this point, from November 4th forward, when you have a friend who's like, oh, I was thinking about going paleo, you're going to say, well, the book you should get is Real Life Paleo, because it's going to guide you through transition and give you a bunch of recipes. And then you're still going to use it in your kitchen because it still has all these amazing recipes. So it's going to be like capital T, the capital B book, like from now on. It's amazing.
I'm totally blushing. You know how I am about compliments. Thank you.
I know.
On behalf of Matthew, thank you.
you guys are amazing. And Sam, your hands are beautiful.
Well, thank you.
So the interesting thing about that is that there was a point in the beginning of making this book where, you know, we were working with Amy, our photographer, through the aesthetic of what we wanted. And I explained to Amy that I wanted a lot of table shots and a lot of hands-on. And I said, I really want it to look like real life. I don't want super staged, you know, pretty food photos. Like, I mean, I want them to look nice, but I want to make the tables look like, you know, in family could be eating this, because this is the food that we eat. And I want to help people understand that it is obtainable for everyday use. And one of the ways to do that is to personalize photos. And by personalizing photos, you know, setting tables, especially when food looks half eaten, when hands are in them, a story is told through the art of photography. And one reading the recipe and looking at the photo can then imagine themselves doing it. It's something that I kind of fell in love with about food photography. And Amy and I worked really, really hard because it wasn't something that, you know, was originally, it wasn't her preference. And being the photographer on it, I wanted to make sure that she was comfortable with what she was doing, but also, you know, was true to the story that we were trying to tell. And so we learned really early on that my habit of getting really crazy shellac nails was not something that was compatible with photographing all of the recipes in the book. And I remember texting both Courtney and Sam several times and being like, are your hands clean? Can you come over? Because they each don't get regular, you know, painted nail manicures, and they both have lovely hands, you know, normal average person hands. And I needed their help because my hands are in the book, I think, three times. I know it's on the chai, Thai tea. I know it's on the pumpkin pudding, but we actually ended up cropping out
on the balsamic dressing. I'm pretty sure.
And we cropped out my fingers for the pumpkin pudding. I am on the balsamic dressing, and I'm also, on the cake, the chocolate layer cake.
Oh my God, that cake. Oh my God, that cake.
Well, we didn't realize my hands were going to be in the chocolate layer cake. It was as I was cutting it, Amy started taking photos because the inside was really pretty. Mm-hmm. And that there's a shot of me pulling the cake out, and I totally did not intend to have my nails in that shot. But once we saw it, we were like, well, this is a gorgeous shot. And we don't Photoshop, and we don't touch up, like, what you see is the real photo. And so, so my hands with weird nails are in a couple of shots, but the rest of the hands in the book, I think my mom's in there twice with meatballs and the tostones, and then the rest of them are Sam and Courtney. So anyway, that's kind of how Sam got, I think, your original invitation. And we also were like begging you to come help watch the children and wash dishes and eat food in exchange.
Yes.
And is that you in the cute apron all over the book?
Yes.
Cute aprons. There's more than one apron. Cute apron.
Yes. That is me.
Now I could recognize really you from like waist to collarbone.
My torso.
Yes.
Good.
Excellent. And your hands. I'd be like, wait a minute. I know those hands.
Yeah. I was actually surprised because she, like, Stacy looked at my nails and she was like, your nails are perfect. Okay. We need you to hold this. I was like, oh, okay. I'll stop doing the dishes and do that.
That's awesome.
But it was really, really cool to actually on Fridays, what I would do is on Thursdays, I think it was Thursdays, Matt would give me all the food that I needed to buy. And then on Fridays, I'd go and get everything from whatever store, or I'd try to find it. We did not find Romanesco, and it was one of the hardest
every
things.
Freaking week we tried to make Romanesco, and we could never find it.
I found it in Texas, season. And I was like, Texas, but
that's so far away. So they're like, no, it's okay. And it was just really, really cool to see everything go from buying it to being in this book. Like, so much work and preparation. And, you know, it wasn't as much the work. It was more fun and just hands-on. It was a really cool thing to be a part of.
Yeah. Sam, you were a total lifesaver for us in terms of being able to pull that off, because you allowed Matt to, like, be with the children during the week while you did the shopping for him, because going shopping to multiple stores to get exact ingredients and exact amounts, carrying multiple children in tow is nearly impossible. But then during preparation, you would help prep the food or help keep the children busy. Because one of the problems that we had when we did Beyond Bacon was that the children were really abandoned and they were babysat with the television. And so we wanted to make sure that they got some interaction with human beings on the weekends. And, yeah. You helped us pull that off. And so, yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that though, because I had totally forgot that we put the list together and then you went shopping. Like, it's just such a blur about the whole process and how complicated it was, because unlike Sarah, who shot the Paleo Approach cookbook in her home, which is undoubtedly difficult, like, you shot the photos yourself. And so if you didn't like something, you could just reshoot it, or you could, you know, wait for really good light to make something, or you, after the kids went to bed and you put up your lighting rig, you can just do it. But for us, we had one day a week to shoot with a photographer. And so there was literally a schedule that we had to keep. And there was a, you know, multiple spreadsheets and lists all over the place of like which foods we were going to make on which days, and making sure that, you know, we had all the recipes that we wanted to shoot together for the meal ideas made that day. And that at the same time, if we were using spaghetti squash, that we would try to make all the spaghetti squash recipes that day so that we only had to prep, you know, spaghetti squashes once. And, you know, it was like a spreadsheet, Jedi. I mean, I'm a lover of spreadsheets. Monica will tell you, we run entire paleo parents off of like 8,000 spreadsheets.
We have mad spreadsheet love in this group.
So, you know, you kind of get a book and you see it and it, you know, you think, oh, that took a lot to come together, but it really was a team effort in terms of making it all to come together, because it was like my organizational skills, Sam's execution, Matt's cooking, Amy's photography, my styling, you know, and then there were people that contributed to the success, Courtney and Sam, my mom, who were there, you know, standing in, helping with dishes, doing all that kind of stuff in order to make it come together. And with 175 recipes in the, I think it was like 3 to 4 months that we had to shoot it, was just insane. I remember booking the calendar with the spreadsheet and realizing that we'd have to do a minimum of 12 recipes a day. Sometimes we did 20 or more, and to pull off all those recipes. And Matt just kept shaking his head and being like, we don't need all these recipes. I'm like, yes, I do. Trust me, we need them all. So
I mean, okay, this is coming from the girl who also had a book with approximately double what most other cookbooks have, which Real Life Paleo is the same. But to me, it was actually really important to have that many recipes. And I can see that it was for you, because it's, when you're trying to make a cookbook that's going to be a book that people are going to use in their real life, you want to give them that variety. You want to give them breakfasts and snacks and side dishes and mains and desserts. You want to sort of span the gamut of the different kinds of recipes people actually want in their real life. They want the quick meal for during the week, and then they want the like super flavorful, more elaborate thing for the weekends. And, you know, people out there in the world want different kinds of recipes at different, you know, different types of day and different days of the week. And so in order to kind of provide them that variety, like, it automatically means you have to have more recipes than I think a lot of the cookbooks, I mean, not just paleo cookbooks, but cookbooks in general these days tend to have anymore. You know, it's much more common now to have like thematic cookbooks that might have, you know, some of them only have like 75 recipes in them.
Like a pork thematic cookbook?
Like a pork thematic cookbook, which had over 100.
Yes, it did.
But you know, if you're going to make a general cookbook, in order to really achieve the generality aspect, you need to have a lot of recipes. And so I know how much work it is myself. And I know Matt's frustration. I think it's amazing. And I'm like super glad you guys didn't miss out on a single one that you guys included.
Thanks.
One of my favorite things about the book is there's so many different recipes from different cultures. Like there's a Peruvian chicken recipe, there's Thai recipes, there's Chinese food, there's Mexican, there's a little bit of everything from all over. And I think that's definitely one of my favorite aspects of the book, because it's not just, you know, traditional American. It's not just traditional French and whatnot. It's all over. It's from all over. And I think it definitely shows in the recipes that you can make something simple and delicious and have it be like it's straight from Thailand or Peru and whatnot.
I'm surprised, Sarah, that you didn't make the Peruvian chicken as your dinner tonight, honestly.
We had no aluminum cans. So there was that was actually the going, because I actually bought whole chickens at the farmer's market yesterday morning. So that was like the first, like, let's make this one. I was like, we need aluminum cans. And it was like this morning I woke up and I was like, the kids were not getting along all day. They were just at each other. They would kind of alternate between like giggling hysterically and screaming hysterically and kind of nothing in between all day. So one of the things that I did this morning was like to distract everyone was like, hey everyone, let's look through this book and we'll have a meal tonight that's like completely from this book and we'll like everyone pick something. And but the rule was I wasn't going out shopping. So we had to pick
stuff. That's a smart rule.
The ingredients for already. And I went to the farmer's market and Whole Foods yesterday. So like we were pretty well stocked. So there was actually lots of options for things that we could make with what we had in the house. But yeah, I was like, but I'm not running any errands today for like one thing that I'm missing for a dish. And we had an amazing, amazing, amazing meal. We made the restaurant steaks, which were fantastic. And the whole time we were eating them, this dates me like horribly, but I was like telling my husband, like, I'm thinking about that line from The Matrix that ignorance is bliss. He's like perfect steak in his mouth. That was what the restaurant steaks made me think of.
That's a perfect visual.
Right. And that is exactly what the steak looked like too.
It was awesome. Sam's hands cutting those steaks in the book.
Those steaks were amazing. I remember just like cutting it open and being like, can I eat this yet? And
then I think as you were holding the stance with the knife still, you were like, when can I eat it? Amy, did you get the shot?
Perfectly cooked, easy to cook, no grill to clean up. Like that, like, it was perfect. So we had that. We had sautéed mushrooms and onions. We had the rainbow carrots.
Those are my favorite.
Were so good. And my four-year-old, soon to be five-year-old, like ate, I think, half of the pan. And then we made the reason why I knew your hand was in the berry balsamic dressings, because we made the berry balsamic dressing to have with the salad. And then we made the snickerdoodle whoopie pies for dessert. And that made for some very happy people, including me.
Sam loves our frosting. She was always like, can I make frosting? Do we need frosting for this?
And then I need more frosting.
I'd put it between, if we had different cookies, I'd like, oh, this is a good idea, smashed. Or I think when we were doing the cover shoot, we had all these leftover strawberries. I was just dipping the strawberries in the icing and like, oh, this is so good. Icing. Yeah. Icing and I are best friends.
I see why. We were very happy. So Our day got progressively better because the food was a nice distraction for all of the conflict earlier on in the day.
I'm happy to hear that Real Life Paleo saved your family.
That's right. That's right. Can credit it all to this book on this day. Yeah. So, and actually, my youngest was like, while she was eating her snickerdoodle whoopie pie for dessert, was like, and tomorrow can we make the pumpkin ones? I was like, I think that's enough, like, treats. Like, you have these giant sandwich cookies now in the house for, like, the next couple of days. Like, I think we're good for a little while. But, yeah, she was, and the thing that she completely latched onto immediately was the chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was chocolate cake.
So, yeah, while we're talking about chocolate cake, Sam can tell you about all her favorites in the book.
So, the chocolate cake, I actually made that for my birthday because I wasn't about to eat a real cake and I'm very lactose intolerant. And I was like, I need cake. So, I made one, and that cake is just my favorite thing ever. It's so easy to make. All the ingredients are, you know, basic household in your house already. And it's just phenomenal. Like, words can't describe it. It's probably one of the best cakes I've ever had.
Do you put the strawberry frosting and berries on top?
I normally make it with a strawberry frosting. I've even taken the strawberry frosting and turned it into blueberry. So instead of doing freeze-dried strawberries, you do freeze-dried blueberries or raspberries. Oh my gosh. Oh, so good.
Okay, so I'm salivating now. It's going to be really awkward for talking.
So, I happen to know a few of your other favorites. I'm curious if what I remember being your favorites are what you remember.
I really, really like those blondies, the Rocky Road blondies. Those were really good. That steak, oh my gosh, the restaurant style steak, that was one of my favorites. I really, really like the pancakes. Definitely a fan of pancakes.
The boys ask you to make those pancakes almost every time you're here.
Oh my gosh, they ask me to make that and fried chicken. Like, every time I'm over. They also, one of my favorites is the Mongolian beef. That just blew my mind. I really like the tater tots, the Cali tater tots with the zucchini.
Yeah.
Those were mind-blowing.
We used cauliflower a lot in this book as a base for a lot of ingredients, like in surprising recipes.
I really liked the butternut squash ice cream. That blew my mind. I was like, what? You're making ice cream out of squash? That's not possible. And that was amazing. Just amazing. I really liked the chicken wings. I remember after we made the chicken wings, we ate every single one of them.
And there were four full trays.
They were amazing. And I haven't been able to find duck fat. I've been trying to do that because there's one, the garlic one. Oh, what is it? The
lemon garlic one?
Yes, the lemon garlic one. That was just amazing. Definitely my favorite. Oh, I like all of the ingredients in this, or all the...
I remember you freaking out over the ribs and the crab balls, too.
Oh my gosh, yes. The crab balls, I've made those so many times, and people are like, these are paleo? Yes. It's awesome. And then I've also made the ribs with the apple butter. I make apple butter all the time, and that's one of my favorite things to eat. Like, I'll eat spoonfuls of apple butter, and putting it into a barbecue sauce just... It's crazy. It's nothing that I've thought of before. I also like the prosciutto wrapped pears.
Oh, with the pickled onions?
Yeah. And my little tidbit, instead of olive oil, I do olive oil infused with truffle oil. Oh my God.
Oh, I like this girl, Stacy.
Right. I know. She's really fun to eat with and everything else.
I'm like 3 seconds away from firing myself because I have not even tried it, like even close to as many recipes as Sam has from this book. I'm like, oh, shame on me.
Well, Sam was here every single day. She has tried every single recipe. I think maybe you missed 1 week, right, Sam?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's maybe like a dozen recipes that she hasn't tried.
But I've also made most of them, so I know how easy and friendly they are. And I remember my favorite thing was we were doing the eggs in a nest.
Oh, with the spaghetti squash?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Wesley, it hadn't been photographed yet, and Wesley was like, I'm hungry. And he sticks his finger right in the middle of the yolk and decides to pop it.
paleo kid for you.
It was just really funny, but we ended up not photographing that one. But he was like, I just wanted the egg. I was like, really, Wes? Really? But that one was really good, too. The spaghetti squash with the eggs and the, is it chives on top of it? I think it's chives. Oh, you're making me hungry again. I'm making myself hungry again.
Yep. That's working on me too, the psychology of delicious food.
So, Monica, you're not, you were self-proclaimed, I won't begin to judge you, but you're a self-proclaimed not very good at cooking. So, nope. from the perspective of not really using the recipes and that sort of thing, I think it would be interesting for people to hear kind of what your perspective of quote-unquote working on Real Life Paleo is. And, you know, side note, Monica lives many states away, and we have never actually physically met. And I think you've been a team member of ours for 2 years now.
Yeah, we're close too.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Real Life Paleo was something so different in my eyes because, when I was overseeing the recipe testing portion of it, I would get excited when I would see the full list of all the recipes that were available. Because I mean, the same thing that Sarah and Sam echoed, just the sheer abundance of recipes that are in the book is amazing. But it felt so taboo to like, I really wanted to start cooking from those write-ups right away, but it felt like massive taboo to even touch them and to start working with them until the book was actually in my hands. But I just remember, because I didn't get to see any of the meat of the book until it was in its proof format. So when I was seeing the recipes, it was just, oh my gosh, like this is really going to be something that I so wish that I would have had back when we were starting to get involved with an ancestral approach to living. Because I don't have a paleoversary. When we first started, we were like a lot of families where we weren't ready to do the 30 days, you know, clean cut approach. We had just had a baby and were very much in a state of, you know, kind of chaos and needing to make things work. And I wish that we would have had a cookbook like this to help us ease into this way of living and to kind of get an understanding for when to swap things out and when to add things in and what recipes to help you feel quote unquote normal when you are with family, you know, on holidays or special events. And that was really what my biggest takeaway from the book was that I was most excited to see, because that I feel like is the reality that so many people are in when they are curious about this lifestyle and seeing what it could do for them and their health. And I mean, I really wish that this book was something that we would have had to let us know that it doesn't have to be a black or white process to finding your health through this lifestyle, that you can really ease into it in a way that fits you and your family so that you're not, you know, making members of your family mad at the end of the day.
Totally.
I love that, because I think that one of the things that I see in a lot of people who are asking me questions is, you know, people who have come from, you know, paleo challenges, or they heard about paleo from somebody who was like, you know, no, you just have, you know, like there's a lot of people who believe the only way to go paleo is to purge your pantry and just start it one day and to, you know, to do these super strict challenges where, you know, you're not even allowed to eat fruit because fruit is nature's candy type, you know, really, I think for most people, how strict those are ends up setting them up for failure. And I think that as a community, the way that we can help the most people eat healthier is by acknowledging that you don't have to be perfect in order to see results, and that you don't have to jump all in, and that it's okay to take these baby steps, and it's more important that you get to healthy eating rather than necessarily how long it takes you to get there. And I think that by, you know, sort of honoring that in other people and respecting people as they, you know, put effort into making these changes, I think that's going to make paleo accessible for a lot more people and make this something where, you know, maybe not everybody goes all the way. Maybe they go gluten-free, but they're eating, you know, better quality meat and more seafood and more vegetables, right? Like there's a lot of different shades here. And different variations of paleo that work for different people. And I think that one of the best ways that we can do as a community moving forward is to support people making changes towards paleo, even if it's not all the way there. And that's why this book is so exciting, because every single recipe is absolutely a paleo, but a lot of them are geared towards those people who are making those steps and who are still struggling with getting the whole way there. And it's going to help them, I think, implement it and also feel good about the changes they're making rather than feeling bad about what they haven't done yet.
I think what's interesting to me, too, is when we were going through the development of those recipes, the things that I really strived when I was organizing our list, because there were a lot of recipes that were on the list in the beginning that ended up coming off. We originally had 225 recipes. And the reason that I created such a large list, I mean, 175 is still large, but we pared it down by choosing to pare down certain things on purpose. We purposely included an 80-20 ratio of like sweet treat kind of food to savory, nourishing, healthy food. So although there are a ton of, you know, holiday-friendly recipes and phase one recipes, which are the foods that are really good for transition, like waffles and pancakes and that sort of thing, fried chicken fingers, you know, foods that remind you of foods that were standard but made in a much healthier way, there's, you know, 80% of the rainbow carrots and the cauliflower gnocchi and the cauliflower breadsticks. I mean, they're not called cauliflower breadsticks because they're called garlic breadsticks because they taste good like breadsticks, but they're made with cauliflower. And there's just a ton of quote unquote hidden nutrient dense foods. And we talk about what those foods are in phase three, going through the foods that we really want people to add into their diet when they're ready to take that step in that final phase of, you know, if you've been paleo for a while, I would assume that that's where most of people are. That's where I am in my journey. You know, it took our family probably a good year to be 100% paleo for the whole family. And so we were in phase one for a year, and then we were in phase two for probably another year before we really started wrapping our brains about, you know, nutrient density and adding in food that would heal and nourish our bodies in a, you know, beyond just removing the non-paleo foods. And so by labeling each recipe with phase one, two, or three, what we're hoping it'll do is not put people in a mindset of like, oh, I can only eat foods out of phase two, or I can only eat foods out of phase three, but really make people aware of, yes, this is a paleo food, but it's a phase one food, which means I should really treat it as a treat and only make 20% of my diet this kind of food. And, you know, if I'm going to have one of these things on my table, I should have one of the phase three foods as well. And the goal is a lot of the side dishes are phase three. So what we're hoping is that just by choosing a side dish, in most cases, because most people are going to have a side dish on their table, you're going to end up with some phase three food. We've got broth in there. We've got egg yolks in there. We used mayonnaise and egg yolks throughout the book intentionally to kind of add those extra nutrients. We've got tons of vegetables, seafood, even organ meat. Sarah and I talk about on the show, and you're probably skeeved out about not wanting to do it, but we've included some really family-friendly, palatable starting point offal so that when you're ready to take that step, you can rest assured knowing that if you try this kind of recipe, it's going to be your best stab at trying those foods. So it's certainly not some place that people just transitioning, I don't want them to think about liver. Some of the questions that we get are like, I had this one woman, I don't remember if it was on the podcast or it was just an email, but she was like, I'm really trying to be paleo, but I served, you know, liver meatballs to my family and they all told me it was disgusting and I don't know how I can possibly succeed on this journey. And we referred her to our original ebook on this three-phase paleo, which is what this book has been based on and expanded exponentially, both in recipes and content, because it was so successful and people were so happy with it, our publisher asked us to include that concept in what was supposed to be just a cookbook. So it's interesting because my response to that woman is stop putting liver in your meatballs. Like, just focus on taking the spaghetti off the table. Don't worry about adding in liver to the meatballs. Here's a recipe. Either try Capello's pasta, try zucchini noodles, try spaghetti squash, or, you know, put your meatballs on a salad. Do something to avoid the pasta and just feel happy and successful at that step and worry about the liver later. And I don't know that there's a lot of people in the community who, you know, are supporting that idea so much as like, yeah, you should be grass-fed organic. I've heard a lot of the, you know, leaders of the movement say, you don't have to buy organic, you don't have to buy grass-fed, but it's best. And I think a lot of people struggle with like, well, where do I draw the line? And, you know, just because it's best, does that mean I need to do it? You know, whatever. So I think being able to, you know, look at a piece of paper with a plan and say, okay, it's okay, I don't need to worry about meatballs right now. I'm in phase one. My family is not ready and on board, or, you know, my boyfriend is totally not on board with paleo. And so if I just go phase one and eat the phase three foods on my lunch when he's not around, or, you know, whatever your situation is, the book is there to kind of guide you through that process, as well as hopefully eat food that not only tastes good, but, is relatively simple and easy to make. And I know that we've talked about recipes that might sound complicated, but there are a bajillion recipes in the book that have either 5 ingredients or less, can be made in under 30 minutes, or can be made in one pot. And again, we intentionally created recipes with a high ratio of those kinds of things because that's how our family cooks. You know, I've talked before, we don't really meal plan. What we do is have meat already in our freezer and we buy produce that either looks good or that we, you know, have around or, you know, our family favorites, and they're just pretty much always stocked. And then we make recipes from them. And so the book is hopefully helping people make those same kind of choices where, you know, it's the morning of and you say to yourself, oh shoot, what am I going to have? And you can pull out, you know, a roast and make the pot roast because it cooks itself in one pot all day long without you doing anything. And then you come home and you have an incredibly nutrient rich, nourishing meal that everybody can feel satisfied about. And you won't even miss, you know, the flour or whatever it is that is in most pot roasts. So, we do have meal plans and shopping lists in the book. Sam actually helped us put together the shopping list because she did all the shopping for the recipes. And so we had her take a first stab at that. But we've got them actually on our blog. And Monica, if you wouldn't mind putting a link in the show notes for people to download the meal plans and the shopping list. If you do like that sort of thing, or if you are struggling to start out and you just kind of want someone to hand you the answers for, okay, give me 1 week of phase one, what does that look like? We've come up with a 1 week meal plan for each phase to help you figure out how to reuse leftovers with some of the recipes in the book, right? So we tell you to double cook chicken so that later in the week you can make our Waldorf chicken salad and, you know, things like that so that you can get in the habit of learning how to reduce the workload and the time that you have to spend in the kitchen while still increasing the quality of the food that comes out of it.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think that it's really important to emphasize that this book is that so much more than a cookbook, because we've talked a lot about the recipes, but this has so much information about transition and so many resources to really help somebody prioritize and, you know, and transition to a paleo diet. And there's so much information, you know, not just like the meal ideas and the meal plans, but just like, you know, where to shop and, you know, what are the sort of the nutrient density focus sort of tenets of paleo and, you know, what should be in your stocked in your home and, you know, what are the sort of staple ingredients that people should be looking to? And I think, you know, and the tearaway guides. I mean, how many tearaway guides are there? Like a billion?
There's 6.
That's a billion.
Yeah. So I think there's 2 for each phase is what I think ended up, because there's more than that many guides in the book, but we ended up just going with 6 tarot guides because publishing is complicated. But
publishing is complicated. but I think that I think that it's really important to sort of, you know, let people know, especially if, I mean, I think we've clearly sold the quality of the recipes because they're fantastic. But I think that the reason why this, that I think this is going to be the book with capital T and a capital B, is because of the combination of the information and the recipes, so that if somebody wants to know more about paleo, everything they need to know to get started is in this book. And that doesn't mean that they're not going to find other books also interesting, but you know, there's so many people who will ask the question of like, I'm interested in going paleo, what's the one book I should get? Like, you know, people who are thinking about trying this diet and they're not really sure they're going to commit to it yet because they want to see how they feel. They don't want to go and spend $100 on books. They want to buy one book. And I think this is going to be that book that people are going to buy. So everybody listening, buy a bunch of copies for your friends for the holidays.
Yeah, do that. What were you about to say, Sam?
I was just going to talk about how in the front of the book, there's simple, safe foods. And I love how in every chapter, there's a breakdown of what's egg-free, nut-free, nightshade-free, if it's under 30 minutes, if it's on the go, one pot, you know, it's got so much variety. And it literally walks you through on how to become gluten-free and to come to heal yourself, basically. It's got all three stages, and that's what I really enjoy. I wish this was around when we went paleo, because I was completely lost. I was used to cooking with, you know, grains and unhealthy and or not as healthy ingredients as you would normally see, and it definitely is a game changer. Definitely.
Thank you. I think for, you know, I don't know, maybe Monica, you can say, because we've all kind of said we wish that this was around when you started. I'd like to think that this book is just as valuable for people who are paleo. Like, I don't want for people to think that, although, actually what Dan Sanfilippo suggested that we name the book is a transition guide, because it is a guide to help people transition, but I didn't want people to think that that's all that it was, because I think that there's a lot of value to people who believe that they're paleo, but who eat, let's say, a lot of nuts or a lot of chicken. I think that there's potential for the book to have value to almost anyone on their paleo journey to make improvements, if not in the way they eat, but even, you know, we address lifestyle factors and quality of food and that sort of thing that I think most people who, you know, go paleo, quote unquote, you know, kind of eliminate those foods, but then they either stall or they stop or they, you know, kind of focus on, okay, this is what I need to do. And I think for me personally, I'd like to also kind of emphasize that there's value in those of us who have been doing it a long time to think even, okay, now what more can I do? And even for me, and Sarah, I'll speak for you because I know we have this conversation frequently, there's things that we know that we can do better on a regular basis too. And having, you know, outlined steps and reminders of like, oh yeah, I need to really sleep. I really need to have more fun. I really need to get out in the sun and I need to eat more, you know, nutrient dense superfoods. I think is really additional value in terms of not just great for everybody starting, although nothing makes me happier than to hear that that's what the perception is when they pick it up, because that was our goal, was to really create, you know, for those people who just want to know how, not why, right? Like we touch on why and we reference other brilliant people like Sarah on where to get the why, but on the how, you know, those are the questions that we get, and that's what we know. Like that we're speaking to what we know. We are not the science people. We are the how to implement people. So it's wonderful to hear that that's, you know, people's impression when they get the book is that it is a everything all in one for people on how to live the paleo lifestyle and cook delicious food, because that was our goal. But I don't want those of you listeners who've been paleo for a while to be like, oh, well, I'll refer it to my friend, but it's obviously not for me because I'm just, you know, I've been paleo for a while. But I would argue that, you know, that's not the case.
Well, and the thing that I want to add to that is, I mean, the word that comes to mind from the very second that I saw this in its full form was that this book is inclusive. It's the first thing I've ever seen that's truly this inclusive of everyone, regardless of where they're at, to help them think about where they're at in their health journey, what they're hoping to fine tune and tweak, where they could be making those adjustments to settle onto a different, you know, area that they haven't really tackled. I mean, it took us a long time to even think about adding in a weekly, you know, bone broth batch into our recipe preparation routine. So, I mean, it's definitely, that's just the word that I think summarizes it, is it's truly inclusive. You know, whether you're at the beginning and you are kind of curious about trying to eliminate grains and seed oils, or you're further along in your journey, but you're hoping to, you know, fine tune and tweak, or you just need some new ideas and you've been doing paleo for a long time, but you've been doing it a pretty tried and true way. And you're at the point where you want variety. You want to be able to find treats that aren't just the same old thing, or you've been buying, you know, the paleoized foods and you want to start making more of your own. So, I mean, I really do think that it's applicable to someone regardless of where they're at in their journey, which is what I love so much about the book.
Thank you.
With creating this book, I had never tried an organ meat ever. And then you guys were like, oh, just try it. It's beef jerky. It's like, okay. And that's when I had the first heart jerky, and I'd been paleo for about a year and I'd never tried it. And I definitely think I agree with Monica. It's for someone who is starting off, but yet even if you're later in your paleo journey or whatever stage you're in, it can be applicable for that.
I think even the recipes are just good recipes. So even if you really do have every aspect of paleo mastered, these recipes are inspired. So, you know, even if you are doing the sleep and the stress management and the being outside and the having fun and the eating, you know, organ meat and super nutrient dense foods, these are still amazing recipes. And, you know, there, I think even if someone, you know, is, you know, does have it all down, they're still going to really enjoy cooking this food. Just throwing that out there.
So one of Matt's quotes, and Sam, you probably heard him say this before, usually about 80% of the way through a day, he wants to give up and say that all of his food is awful and he doesn't know why he does this. So for Matt, let's all maybe wrap up the show with a message that we can give him to tell him, let's all wrap up the show with a message to tell him how absolutely fabulous he is, and how even though he's my husband and no one can have him, he's a superhero and we all think he's fantastic because he takes care of the children, he takes care of the house, and he makes amazing and delicious food. So that's my positive. I love you, baby. You're mine.
Stacey, there have been so many times where I'm doing things on social media and I want to like call out how much of an amazing rock star Matt is. Like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so creeper. And Stacey and Matt are going to be like, what's with that Monica saying creeper things about Matt over there? But rock star Matt, just saying, rock star.
I'm supposed to beat that?
No, you don't have to beat that. I think it would be good for him to hear that. Well, first of all, you already said that his food is fantastic, and that's a wonderful compliment because he is always doubting his food. When we go places and we eat, like, Sarah, you've had Happy Tart, right? So we go to Happy Tart and we get something, and it has, like, grains in it, and it has sugar in it. And he's, you know, in his mind, he's like, I don't know why I bother baking because I don't make anything that tastes this good. And I'm like, yes, you do, first of all. And second of all, it's way better for us. That's why you make it. You know? So I think it's good for his ego to hear positive things about his food and his book and that sort of thing, because I get so much of the quote-unquote credit and attention through the blog just because he doesn't like being in social situations, and he's just not a very, he's just uncomfortable with people. Like, I love him to death. And Sam, you're very close with him. Actually, all of you ladies are at this point. So it's like, you know, it's not a big deal, but I'm sure when you first met Matt, you were kind of like hesitant and tentative about all that kind of stuff. Cause he's just, he doesn't deal with social situations very well. And so I think it's, you know, good for him to kind of experience the positive side in, because he doesn't get a lot of the emails and the comments and the media that we get is often directed at me, which isn't very fair because Matt does a lot of the work. But so that's all. You don't have to top anything. I just wanted to give him a verbal high five.
Matt, high five. Matt, you're awesome. You know I love your food. You know that's why I keep coming to visit you, and I'll see you this weekend. And well, the weekend after, but I'll still be eating your food, just not your house. I mean, you're right, Stacey, that, because you're the voice, I think Matt does often get left behind, and Matt, that's not fair because you're awesome and you deserve as much recognition, if not a little bit more, Stacey. I'm just saying, he does all the cooking.
I know. I agree.
Yeah. So, Matt, you're awesome. And I'm not just saying that for you to cut it out. I'm saying that for you to leave in on the show.
So Matt has definitely been kind of actually my backbone of experimentation and keeping with paleo cooking and going diverse with all different recipes and trying new things. And it's really been a learning experience for me with cooking and just being around you guys. It's really taught me a lot and made me a better cook personally, but I have learned immense knowledge from Matt, and it's definitely crazy how much he knows and how well he cooks. And I actually hope to one day be as good as a cook as he is, because he's definitely one of the best people and mentors that I've had with cooking.
Aw. And our children feel the same way about you, Sam. They're so excited about you watching them next week. They keep being like, when are you and Daddy leaving?
Oh, I miss them. I love them. They've become a huge part of my life, too. I talk about them constantly, and they're my little babies. If you need to and you're well, you can write them off to me.
Okay.
Just saying. If you ever, you know, feel so inclined.
Well, I'm sure you can always be a part of their life. So with that, I mean, I don't know what better way to end than to give verbal high fives and hugs to my dearest husband and the best business partner I could ever ask to have. And hopefully you all listeners appreciate how much work Matthew does. And it's not just the Stacey show, I promise. which I try to never claim that. Like, I try to always say when people are like, I don't know how you do it all, I'm like, well, I have a team of people and Matthew does a lot. So, but with that, I can't thank you ladies enough for supporting us on this real life paleo journey. I mean, we would not have been successful in this endeavor without everyone's encouragement and support and contributions to this book. And even though you weren't live here during Real Life Paleo Sarah, we did quote you and reference you and, you know, chit chat with you about things.
And I did write a really awesome forward.
And then after it came together, when you were like, oh yeah, I'll put my name on this. So I think it's, we're just really grateful for your support. And also listeners, like the amount of positivity and encouragement and excitement and enthusiasm that people have had about the release of this book, you know, thank you from the bottom of Matt and I's heart. It really means a lot to see people appreciate our hard work. And if you are thinking of what more you can do, I beg of you to please review the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, any website that you possibly can. We sincerely appreciate that, and it helps people make a decision about purchasing the book, and it's just really, really important to have reviews. And so if you get the book and you like the book, the best thing that you can do for us is to leave a review. And the second best thing that you can do is refer your friends and family to this book. Like Sarah said, you know, it's our goal that this be, you know, one of the books that people refer others to. I mean, if it becomes the book, that's wonderful. But I know that there are really great existing books. But I know at least for the how-to portion, if people are really struggling with how-to, you know, we've written this book to be the answer to every question that someone would have about how to implement a paleo lifestyle through their entire journey. And so with that, the more you can, you know, share this information and give this book to friends for the holidays or whatever the case may be, that would be great. I mean, even better if you're near a city that we're doing our, the Paleo View book tour, Sarah and I, as well as Matt and I, are touring a whole bunch of cities the month of November. It would be wonderful to meet you and see you and sign your hopefully books that, you know, you want to get family and friends for the holidays. We would just be thrilled with that as well. So, you know, whatever you can do, we appreciate it. A review doesn't cost you any money if you already have the book. It just, you know, takes like 2 minutes to leave a review on a website. So just thank you in advance. And, thank you, ladies, for coming on tonight and being so positive and making me blush and talking so nicely about my baby. And I'll go ahead and, you know, officially announce what is already written on the last pages of the book, which is that this is Matt and I's last book, at least for a very long time. You know, we had an intervention with the children, and they very much would like us to go back to kind of being a quote-unquote normal family and having weekends together. And as Sam mentioned earlier, it was a lot of work and organization and preparation, the way that we do these books, having to do it with the photographer on a certain day. And that meant that we didn't have weekends with our children for a long time. And this is the third time that we've done this in 4 years. So we made a promise and commitment to our children that we would not be doing any more paper books for the foreseeable future. And we fully intend to keep that promise. It's not just an empty promise. You know, we're not going to Brett Favre retire. We're actually going to not do paper books for a while. I say for a while because Matt would like to write fiction and things like that. So maybe when Wesley's in school, but I really don't see us doing another cookbook. And that's why we did put everything we have and all of the knowledge that we have into this book, because we wanted to feel satisfied and be able to kind of close this chapter of our lives and feel really comfortable saying we gave it everything we had and we did the very best we could do. And the only thing that we can hope for now is that people appreciate it and are satisfied with that work, because we, living the lifestyle that we do and the life choices that we've made for me to continue to have a full-time job, we can't continue at this speed and this level of effort for, you know, much longer, any longer. So I want to put it out there on the record and tell people, I'm sorry if you love our cookbooks, that this will be the last paper cookbook that we do. We might do ebooks. Those are a lot easier for us, but we won't be, you know, planning on that for a long time either. So, we appreciate everyone's support. And, you know, if you love this book and it's the first one that you've bought of ours and you're like, oh, I wish I could have more from them, great news. We have two other paper books that you can also buy, Eat Like a Dinosaur and Beyond Bacon. And they each have their own kind of niche and approach and goals, but all of them are made with the same palette and the same intentions with cooking. So I think we have something like over 1,000 recipes between our three books and our blog at this point. So hopefully people can be satisfied with that. And of course, we'll continue to blog, and we're actually excited to be able to blog more now that we're, you know, working on less bigger projects. So there, it's out there. I put it out.
Awesome sauce.
Cool. Well, yeah. Thank you again. And I'll be seeing everyone this weekend. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo, it's party.
Yes, you will.
Awesome.
I'll probably see you before I talk to you again, except for texting to remind you what time my flight lands.
Except for that part. And to our listeners, just fair warning, because Sarah and I are going to be on the road for the next couple of weeks, I think our intention is to have some unique podcasts for you. So be on the lookout for the next couple of upcoming podcasts, whereby we hope to be able to record in a unique way and offer you some fun on the road over the next couple of weeks.
It's going to be super fun. Not just a little bit fun, super fun. I've got dorky ideas. It's going to be great.
And don't forget to bring your copies of the Paleo Approach and the Paleo Approach cookbooks when you come out for signings. Hello.
Nope, forget them.
So you buy more.
I'd be like, wait a minute, Sarah, I forgot you were going
to
be here.
You know what? Okay, this is a reminder to each other to buy sticky notes, to buy, like, you know, the labels that I put in people's books for signature. I want to have some on hand at signings because people always say, I forgot my book. And that way we can sign a sticker and they can put in their books.
That is a fantastic idea.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So one of us should remember to do that. Maybe when Matt's listening to this podcast, he will hear me say that and he can put it on his to-do list for the next time he goes to Target or Walmart or something.
So. Yeah, that's brilliant. Matt, please remember for us. Well, so that's the end of our show, but I actually want to give a special thank you to Monica and Sam, not just for joining us on this podcast episode, because I think this was like a really like neat way to kind of tell people about the project of a book and just how involved it is, because, you know, it's such a team effort to create a book and it really is a tremendous amount of work. But I just wanted to thank you guys for being such awesome support from my awesome co-host so that we can continue to do this podcast, because Monica, if you weren't doing the jobs that you were doing with this podcast would not still be going, because we would just be like totally like overwhelmed. And Sam, because of your role in Paleo Parents' lives, you are what have allowed, you know, Matt and Stacey to also like continue doing stuff like this. So I just want to give you like that extra bit of recognition and thank you for all of our listeners, because, you know, our teams, and I'm going to incorporate my team into this too. You know, our teams are what allow us to continue, because there's just too much work for, you know, one person now. And it's just amazing to have you guys on board. So thank you. And thank you. And thank you.
Thanks, Sarah. That's
very thank you.
I don't know, just one big blush.
Hop on the show with people to talk to. What a change.
I'm looking forward to meeting you, Monica.
I'm not even kidding you. I'm so nervous and geeked out. I'm hoping I'm not awkward city. Like, I'm so nervous that I'm just going to be.
I'm really, Monica, I'm really nice and I don't actually bite people.
Love bites, maybe. Super tight hugs.
I remember the first time, like, I had a call with Stacey because we needed to go over projects. I was like, okay, how to not be weird? How to not be weird? Because let's be honest, you guys are up at the tippy top of the paleo world, and it's, you know, it's kind of intimidating. But I told Stacey the same thing when Dan gives you guys a ride to the airport the next day. I was like, are you really nervous or excited? He goes, I feel like I'm going to be like Unikitty from the Lego movie when presenting to Lord Business with Bruce Wayne, where he goes, paleo, 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 how am I doing? And I'm like, oh, you so will be like that. Yeah, I am so looking forward to meeting you both. And Sam, I'm actually going to make it back to D.C. this next spring, so maybe I can, yes, you know, be in the Paleo Parents neck of the woods and meet you as well.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Sure.
Awesome.
And I have to meet Matt, too, so I kind of have to make it happen.
Yeah. If you can't come here, we'll come to you. We'll figure it out.
Done.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to call this a show. I've got some zombie killing to watch. We record on Sunday nights, obviously, for those listeners who are not obsessed with The Walking Dead. What's wrong with you? But for everybody else, thank you for listening. Sarah and I will be back in some capacity or the other, who knows how, next week. And thank you for your support and for listening. And everything that makes me blush on this podcast.
Thank you for listening to The Paleo View. If you enjoyed the show, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes. You can also support us by shopping for our favorite paleo products on the sidebars of our individual websites or by donating through PayPal.
I just want to say that I just found two googly eyes on my desk. And
it's freaking me out.
It's been really fun for like the last few minutes to just randomly put them on things and turn things into faces. My favorite one so far being putting them on my phone and turning my phone into a face.
I still don't understand sometimes how you have a PhD.